We begin the current daf, Masechtas Nazir, daf Samach Vav, the last daf in this Masechta. We begin on the last two words on daf Samachem and Beis, where the Gemara explains our Mishnah that we spoke about. Again, we introduced this because it had this common concept of Reglaim Ladavar, which was related to a previous Mishnah in the Halachas of Nazir regarding Tumas HaTohim. But we said that there's a difference regarding the first two years of a Zav and the third year, meaning once he becomes a Zav, meaning we have established that at least the second one, the first one could even be Ba'inus, but the second year of a Zav was not Ba'inus, it was Mibisaroi. So then he becomes a Zav. Then anything after that, as the Tanna by Mishnah held, that it doesn't make a difference even if it's going to be Ba'inus. Now, moreover, as the Tanna of the Mishnah said, Oinsoi was Sveikoi. Now, as we mentioned in the Mishnah already regarding the fact when he's already a Zav, then even when there's an Oinus, we'll assume, that was the Reglaim Ladavar, we'll assume that it wasn't because of, let's say, that he ate or he drank or he looked at a woman, whatever it is that caused Ziva. We're going to say that it was something, it was the actual from Bisari that caused the Ziva in the natural way. Now, moreover, the Gemara explains now the concept of Sveikoi. What is this halacha that we're saying that, oh, once you became a Zav already? Now, regarding anything now, when you're in doubt if it's from Ziva or not, that we're going to consider you that it is a Re'i of Zav. So on that, the Gemara continues on Samach Vav Med Aleph, that it says, Amar Rava. So Rava says, Loi Tema Safik Chaza Safik Loi Chaza. Don't explain this halacha of our Mishnah that's telling us that there's a ramification regarding when you're already a Zav already to say that if you're not sure if you had a Re'i or not, oh, Safik, we're going to say that you're telling me on that. The Rava says, clearly, if we're not sure if you had the Ziva or not, we're not going to say out of doubt that you're going to be Tameh. Elavale Chaza, the case that we're describing over here with Safik, is you definitely had a Ziva omission. Now, the only thing is Safik Machma Shechva Zera, the doubt is if it's because of the semen, or Safik Machma Srio, or is it because of the omission of the Ziva? In other words, the case that we'd be talking about, for example, if that they used some type of a cloth to check if there was an omission or not. Now, on the cloth, he found two things. He found the Ziva omission, which is a certain type of more viscous type of a liquid that's considered Ziva, and then Keri, which is a seminal omission, that's semen. That's a different type of liquid, although that they have similarities in their properties. Now the question is, he doesn't know if did he see each one individually. He didn't check every second. Did he have a seminal omission, and did he have this Tumav Ziva, and then because of the Ziva, it would be Seisr 7, meaning it would undo 7 days of his Tahara that he's counting to become Tar, because once you're a Zav, you have to count 7 days. Or, he's not sure, did they both come out at the same time? Now, that actually, as the Gemara says elsewhere in Perkam Apeles, if the Ziva came out with the Shechva Zera, then actually, since it's mixed with something else, it's only going to be Seisr as Yema. It's only going to demolish that one day of Tahara, but it's not going to undo all the 7 days of Tahara that he's counting. That's the case we're describing in the Mishnah. You're not sure that this Zav that you did have, if it's Tameh, it's going to be Seisr 7 days or not. And that is what the Tanav Mishnah is saying. Ki Mishnah is Kiklu Tumah. But once you already became Tameh, we know you to be as a Zav, so Sveikei Tameh. So the Suffolk will consider it as if you're Tameh, and if we'll consider it as whatever the ramifications of Ziva are, let's say you're ready after three, it's going to be Seisr the Yudais of Tahara. Again, based on this principle about Raglaim Ladavar, there's a difference if you already are a Zav or not. Once you're already a Zav, your Einus, we'll assume it's not the Einus, it's from the Ziva. So to hear, when you have a Suffolk, did it come together with the Shechva Zera or separately, we'll assume that it came separately and therefore be considered as Ziva. Now the third one that we mentioned with the same principle of the Raglaim Ladavar was Shechva Zari Tameh. Also that once you're in Niskak LaZiva, once you're already a Zav, then even the semen that comes out from the Zav, it's not Ziva, but it's Shechva Zera, it's semen, will also be considered as Tameh. So the Gemara one is Lamai. What do you mean that the Shechva Zera of a Zav, because he's already a Zav, will consider as Tameh? Ilema Lamaga, if it means regarding someone touching that Shechva Zera, but Migar Meshechva Zera the Tar, is it any less than the semen of a Tahar person? Where a Tahar person, if anyone touches his Zera, it's Metame Bemaga. So what are we saying more? Oh, because you're Nizkak Laziva, you're already a Zav. Oh, so we'll be Matami or Shech Vazera. Any person Shech Vazera is Tameh. So El Rav, the Gemara says what it means to say is Zari Shel Zav Mitama B'masa. You're right. Every person Shech Vazera is Mitama B'mago with touch, but his, since he's a Zav already, it'll be metame even in carrying, even not touching it, but you're carrying it so through another medium, it's going to transmit tumah to this to the one who's carrying it. Again, because it's coming from a zav. Now, that the Gemara asks, man shamet lahod da oma shechva zerah shel zav metame b'maser. Who is this that you're saying the Tana of a Mishnah that holds that the semen of a zav transmits tumah even for someone just by carrying it? So the Gemara says, Ile mahay tana de tanya, if it's going to say the tana of the following braisa that says, we have Rabbi Eliezer, I mean, he says, that shech vazarei shel zav eina metame b'masa. He holds that the semen of a zav, even though it's coming from a zav, it's not going to transmit tuma by carrying. Again, it's like a regular shech vazar, which only transmits tuma in maga. But Rabbi Shua, I mean, he says, metame b'masa, he says it does transmit tuma for carrying it. Now, he says the reason why is, lefishi i'ef shalom b'loy tzichtzuchi ziv. He says, a zav, who has this thing emitting from his body, it's not possible that his semen won't have traces of ziva from it. So therefore, even the shech v'zer will be metame b'masa, just like the ziva of the zav transmits tuma b'masa. Now, that the Gemara asks, afilu Rabbi Yeshua lo omer el mishum tzichtzuchei ziva. Now, the difficulty with this is to say that the Tana of a Mishnah like Rabbi Yeshua, is he himself says the only reason why the shech v'zer of the zav is metame b'masa is because there's traces of the ziva. But if it was pure shech v'zera, then he never said that it's going to transmit tumah b'masa. Now the difficulty is that our Mishnah says that the shech v'zera is metama b'masa, which sounds like based on its characteristic of shech v'zera, not because of ziva, which would sound like that if it was possible that not to have traces of ziva, the Tana of our Mishnah would still hold that it's going to be tumah. That's not like Rabbi Yeshua. So who's the Tana of our Mishnah? So that the Gemara says, you're right. El Amar of Adar Bar Abba, he says it's a different interpretation when we're saying that the shechva zera of the zav is going to metama. It doesn't mean regarding carrying his shechva zera. It means loymar she'ein toilim ba. It means to say that we cannot define the ziva of the zav based on his shechva zera. Now that in other words, generally there's a halacha as we'll see shortly that when someone has a re'iyah of keri, he has a seminal emission. And then the 24 hours after that will be Taila and will say that's the cause of the ziva is not from himself, it's from the carry that he had within the last 24 hours. And that is what we're saying, that regarding someone that's already a Zav, then he has Shechva Zera, that if he sees ziva after that carry, even though it's within 24 hours, we're not going to be Taila to say that the ziva came because of the carry. Now, although that there is that mission that says that keri is mitar, the ziva that comes within 24 hours, that's because we say that, oh, must have been because he's weak, and that is, as we see from the keri, that's why he had this ziva. Just like we have other things that could cause ziva, that we say, oh, these other things caused it, so to hear, because he had keri, that caused him this weakness to cause ziva to come out. Now, but that's what the Tana of our Mishnah is saying, but this person that's already tamei is already a zav. So there, the halacha is, even if it is an oinus that causes, we don't care. That's what the Tana of Mishnah said. Then it's going to be tummy anyway. So yes, even if, let's say, okay, it's a chulsha, there's a weakness that came to this person because of the carry that he had that caused him to have a ziva. Fine, doesn't make a difference. As we said in the Mishnah, once you're tummy, once you're meniska klatuma, then oinus or safig, and so too in our case, the shechva zera, even if, let's say, that was a cause for his carry, which usually, for his ziva, which usually we say, okay, that won't be tummy ziva. Here, even though there's an oinus of the carry causing it, it'll still be considered as ziva. Now, the Gemara explains Rav Adar Bar Hava's interpretation. Savra Papa kamei de Rava lemei. Rav Papa thought to say in front of Rava to explain, which was essentially the interpretation of Rav Adar Bar Hava, that aydi chushuhu dechazi, that what is the reason why if ziva comes within 24 hours of carry, that it's going to be tahar, is because if it's within 24 hours, we could say that it was he got seminal emission. It drains the person from his strength, from his stamina, and therefore that's why it's considered it's not considered mibisaroi. It's considered machmas ansay. There was another external cause that caused the ziva, which again, as we said in the Mishnah, doesn't create a tumah ziva. But what our Mishnah is saying is, this person that was already tameh, so einus by him is not an exemption. And that's why, again, like Rav Adar Bar Hava had said, was where Papa was entertaining the same friend of Rava, was that's why that's not going to apply over here to be an exemption by the one that was already Nizkak Latoma. On that, I'm like, Rava asked on Rav Papa, which again is asking on the interpretation of Rav Adar Bar Hava, but Vatanan, we learn the Mishnah Mesach, the Zavim that says as follows, Gershin is Gair. regarding a non-Jew that converted to Judaism, where before he converted, he had the Tumah of Keri. He had this seminal emission. Then he converts, and then he sees Ziva. So that the Mishnah says, Mitama Miyad B'Ziva. He automatically, it transmits Tumah as a Jewish person with the Tumah of Ziva. And we don't say that the Keri that was within 24 hours, which is 10 o'clock in the morning, he has Keri, 11 o'clock he converts, 1 o'clock he sees Ziva, says the Mishnah, it's going to transmit Tumah as Ziva. And we don't say that the Keri that was within the last 24 hours caused the Ziva. Now that asks Rabbah, but ein lecha chayli gadol mizeh. There's no greater illness, weakness than this convert. In other words, if the reason is, like you're saying, that Keri purifies Ziva that comes within 24 hours is because it causes the person to be weak, which that creates him to be more vulnerable, which can create the Ziva coming out of him. What's the difference if he was always a Jew or a convert to actually, Rabbah says to the contrary. A ger is weak. And the reason is because he just took upon himself 630 mitzvahs. He's just overwhelmed by all this Judaism. And therefore, to the contrary, there's no greater illness or weakness than that. So from the fact that he had Keri, and which you always say that causes a weakness, that causes Ziva, and for sure this guy, who for sure is overwhelmed physically, emotionally, all these other things, why over there would the halacha not be that his Ziva would not be metame azav if you're saying the Keri as a weakness causes it? So Ella, rather, Rava argues on a Papa's interpretation, and he says that actually that this is a different halacha, that Keri's metar b'ziva is not like you're interpreting because of an illness, and therefore you said, oh, because it's an illness, which is a oynis, that's why it wouldn't apply to someone that nizkak, l'zivas is not true. Actually, it's a gzeres hakasav. It's a pasuk that says that Keri, then 24 hours later, within 24 hours, you'll have Ziva, it's not going to be Mitam B'Ziva. That only applies to a Jewish person. When they had Keri, he was a Jew, then the Ziva within 24 hours is not going to be Zav. And that doesn't apply to a convert who wasn't Jewish at that time. And therefore, first thing as a Jew, he has Ziva, he's going to be Mitam B'Ziva. Now, moreover, he's arguing on the interpretation, the resolution of Rav Adar Bar Ava, and he says that even if you're Nizkak L'Tumah, since it's Gzeres HaKasav, the Keri, if you had Keri, and within 24 hours Ziva, it will say that it's not going to be considered as Ziva. So obviously he's arguing on the primary premise of Rav Papa and Rav Adar Bar Ava, where he says it's not true. Even someone that's Nizkak L'Tumah, he has Keri, and then within 24 hours Ziva, it's not going to be Ziva. So what does the Mishnah mean to say when it says that the Shechva Zera of the one who's Nizkak L'Ziva is already a Zav, we're going to say it's Tameh? That Rava says how we tried saying originally, that the Shechva Zera, even if it's pure semen of the Zav, it's going to be Metame B'Masa in carrying it. And not like Rabbi Yeshua, because we said Rabbi Yeshua wouldn't work well because he only says it's because of traces of Ziva. Our Mishnah makes it sound like just because of the Zera itself. So on that Rava says that actually it's going like Tanoihi, like the following Tanoim, where the Tanoim, like Linda Bryce, we see that actually both of them hold that the Shechva Zera of a Zav is Metame B'Masa. It's just they argue in regards to certain criterion. That the Tanakhama says, Shechva Zera Shel Zav, the semen of a Zav, Metame B'Masa Kome Eis Li Eis. He says that will transmit Tumah in carrying it if that semen came within 24 hours of his Ziva. Rabbi Yisi Eimer Yoimer. He says, no, it's only if it's within that day. So they both agree to this halacha, again, like the Tanakhama Mishnah, where they say that the Shechva Zera V'Zav will be Metame B'Masa, they only argue regarding it within what time frame of the last Ziva. Does it have to be within 24 hours? Or does it have to be at least on that same day? Tosfos the Gemara asks Mike and Mifli, what are they arguing about? So the Gemara says, B'di Shmuel, they argue in this concept that was illustrated by Shmuel, because the Shmuel had posed a contradiction. And each one of these opinions is going with one side of this contradiction. Because Ksiv, on the one hand, it says a pasuk in Devarim, it says, Ki yeh b'cha ish, asher lo yeh tohar mikri loila. So there's at least two terms over here that says that if there's going to be a man that's not going to be pure, he's going to have an emission at nighttime. Now, what we see from this pasuk is it sounds like when it says asher lo yeh tohar, it doesn't say why he's not pure. It sounds like that there's a different tumah that's coming out of his body, similar to the next term that's mentioned in the pasuk, that of Keri. what is that which comes out of the male member that's similar lo tekeri? That's ziva. Now, then when it says the next term of nikre, that happens to the person, that is reference to keri, which is shechva zera, to semen. So how do we interpret this pasuk? So there's two things, ashalo yatar, which is a reference to ziva, and then mikre, which is a reference to keri. So it says that if you first see ziva, ashalo yatar, and then you see keri, so then what? Moreover, it says mikre loila, which the word loila is superfluous. Why do we have to say at nighttime? It's any time that you see keri, that you have a seminal mission, that you have that halacha. So rather, obviously, it's coming to tell us that up until nighttime of when you saw the ziva, then the drop of keri will have the halachic status like ziva and transmit tumah in carrying, just like the ziva is. That's one pasuk. Now, however, the next pasuk says, Lifnois erev yirchitz b'mayim, that when it turns to evening, then he bathes himself in water. Now that sounds like that even after that it's evening already, that then there's going to be the tumah from the zav in the keri that was emitted, which sounds like that it's going to be even past that day, meaning it's going to extend to the next period that we use, which is 24 hours. So then the Gemara explains, Manda amar me'es li'es the Tanakama that said that Sheikh Vazer is going to be tumah b'masa in carrying after the ziva for a period of 24 hours. He's daik milifnois erev. He learns it out from the pasuk that says lifnois erev, which sounds like that even when the day has passed, which is 24 hours, it's still going to have halacha of ziva. So that's how where he learns his opinion. V'iduch daik mikrei loila, and the other opinion learns it as we said before from mikrei loila, which tells you that no, up until the night is when the keri that comes after the ashalo yitar of the ziva will have the halacha of ziva, but after that it won't. No, so the Gemara asks, but Uman Dama Malifnais Erev, the one who learns it out from Lifnais Erev, that it goes for 24 hours, but Aksiv Mikri Laila, but it says, which sounds like that up until nighttime is only when it can be Matava B'masa, like a Ziva, which is Yaymai, but it doesn't extend past the day to 24 hours. So Amalach, he would tell you, Urcha de Keri Lamasi B'Laila. It's just saying it in the normative way of when Keri comes, which is usually a seminal mission, happens at nighttime and nocturnal, and therefore it's not as a superfluous to be used as a drasha to say, oh, mikre loila, that it's only up until nighttime. No, it's just defining when the mikre usually happens, which is at nighttime. And therefore, you can't use it as to define the halacha up until night. And actually, from the other pasuk is where we see lifnais erev, which is that it goes past the night and it goes even for a period of 24 hours. Now, the Rush says, but according to the opinion that says that it's only till yaymai, what does he do with the pasuk of lifnais erev? He doesn't learn Lifnais Erev says that it's even when the night passes past that day. Rather, he uses it to tell you that you need Harav Shemesh sundown, meaning that even though you immerse yourself during the daytime, you don't become totally pure ad Lifnais Erev until the evening time comes, which is when you have Harav Shemesh, when you have a sundown. Only then is when you become purified from your carry. And again, therefore that's their machloikis, but again, they're both going with the premise of the Tanav Mishnah that the carry, the pure Shechva Zera of a Zav, will be metama b'masa. The only question is, does it go on up until nighttime, or does it go even for a 24-hour period after the last ziva? Now the Masechta concludes with the following Mishnah: Nazir Hayishmu, Kediver Reb Nahai Roy. The Mishnah says that according to the opinion of Reb Nahai Roy, Shmuel Hanavi, that's mentioned in Nach, Navi was a Nazir, and his proof is Shemekit says a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph says Umayra Lo Yala Arayshin. Now what does the word Mayra mean? That's going to be up for debate. Says that there was no Mayra on his head. Now, moreover, Nema B'Shimshin is a pasuk in Shaiftim that says regarding Shimshin Agibra, it says also Umayra Loyala Reishe. Same terminology. So, B'Nema B'Shmuel Umayra, and it also says by Shmuel Umayra. So we say, Ma Mayra Hamur B'Shimshin Nazir, just like when it says the term Mayra by Shimshin, it was a reference that he's going to be a Nazir, where we find the pasuk says, Nazir Lekim Yanam and Abetin, that when he was born, he's going to be a Nazir. That's what was told to the parents of Shimshin. Sa'af Mayra Amur B'Shmuel Nazir, so too, that pasuk which is in Shmuel Aleph, which is when his mother Chana is begging for the son, when it says Amur Loi Yal Al Reish, it was a reference that when he's going to be born, he's also going to be a Nazir, and therefore Mayra is some type of a tool of going on his head, meaning to cut his hair. It's not, his hair is not going to be cut. That's what Amur Loi holds. On that Amur B'Yisi, he argues, he says, V'haloi Ein Mayra, but here the reference of Mayra is only reference Elish Basav Adam, it means in regards to people, like as if the Meir was with an Aleph at the end, not a Hey, meaning that he's not going to have any fear from any human being. That's what it means that Umair Loyala Reisha. To say that I want a child that's going to be a Zera Nashim, she's asking him that he won't be afraid of any person, won't be intimidated by people. That's what it means, but not that he's going to be a Nazir. Now, on that, Amalei Rabbi Nari responded to Rabbi Yis, and he says, what do you mean? How can you say that Shmuel wasn't afraid of people, and that's what his mother was asking for, which was fulfilled? For like Fanema, but there's a pasuk in Shmuel Alf that says, Shmuel says, Ta Hashem, Ich Eilich, how can I go? Vishama Shaul Vahargeini, Shaul's going to hear what I want to do, and he's going to be upset, and he's going to kill me. So we see, you can't say that it means that he wasn't a Nazir, and Meir means fear, that he wasn't fearing anybody else, because you see clearly that he was afraid of Shaul HaMelech. Now the Masechta concludes with a related discussion because of the two Tanoim that we mentioned, Rav Naroi and Rav Yosi, which I mentioned in this next discussion. Amalei Rav L'Chiya Berei, Rav said to his son Chiya, as we continue on Tamid Beis, Chatoif, grab the Koishel Bracha, when they're coming to bench or other times when they use a cup of wine and they make a bracha on it, I want you to grab Ubarach, and you be the one to make the bracha. And so to all brachas, no one should be the first one. You should be the first one to go ahead and make the bracha. And v'chein omalei Rav Huna l'Rabba Berei, so to Rav Huna said to his son Rabba, Chatoif Ubarach, you grab and you will be the one to make the bracha. So on that the Gemara asks, Lememr the Mavarach Adif, is that to say really that the one who makes the bracha is better than the one who says Amen? But v'tanya l'in the Braisa, we have these two Tanoim that we mentioned in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yisrael, he says, Gadol ha'ayna amen yitzim in ha'mavarech. Greater is the one who answers amen to the bracha than the one who's making the bracha himself. The amalei Rav Naroi said to Rabbi Yitzi, he says, Hashemayim kachu, I swear that that's correct what you just said. Teda, and you know this, Shahare gulyarim miskarin b'molcham, we find that the privates, the regular officers, they start the war. V'giboyrin noitzchen, and the mighty ones, they come at the end and they finish off the enemy. So the mighty ones, the captains, the colonels, they come and conclude the war. So to the conclusion of the bracha is the answering of the amen. That's the mightier ones. That's the greater element. So how can they tell their sons to be the one that's the mevarach if the one answering amen is greater than the one that makes the bracha? The Gemara answers tanoihi. It's obviously machlokes tanoim. The time like a different brisa that says like Rav Huna who that the mevarach is greater, as this tana says that echad hamavarach beechad ha'ino amen b'mashma, that in the pasuk it seems to indicate that both the Mavarech and the one who answers Amin is going to get reward. Where the Pasuk is in Tehillim Perek Lamadal that says, Gadu Lashem Iti, make Hashem great with me, that's the one who's making the bracha. When the Rem Mashmayachtav and elevate his name together, that's the ones who answer Amin. So both of them are referred to in the Pasuk. Elishem Marin Lamavarech Tchila, but they're quicker to give reward for the one who made the bracha first, because they're the ones that mentioned first in the pasuk. Gadol Hashem Iti is the one saying, come with me, I'm making a bracha, that you should answer amen. So therefore, that's why they told their sons that you go ahead, you make the bracha, because we see that although that both of them, the rewards are mentioned, but the quicker reward comes to the mevarech, to the Gadol Hashem Iti, more than the one who answers amen of a Nerem Mishmayachta. Now, the Gemara, the Masechta concludes with, as the actual one of the terms of this pasuk is called Banayich, famous remez is that Banayich is the words Mesechtes Brachos, Nazir, Yevamis, and Krisis, where these Mesechtes all end with this famous phrase from Amr Belaza, Amr B'chanina, that Tamid HaChacham Emar B'Mishalim Ba'ilim. Talmudic scholars, they increase peace in the world, Shalom, like it says the pasuk in Yeshaya, V'chol Banayich L'mudei Hashem, and all your sons are those who are students of Hashem, Tamid HaChachamim, V'rav shalom b'noyich, and there's an abundance of peace from your sons, and therefore we see this concept of Tamid HaChachamim are marbim shalom b'olam. Hanulach hakutim ein lehem naziris. We shall return to you the ninth paragraph of Masechtas Nazir, hakutim ein lehem naziris, v'slikala Masechtas Nazir, and we have concluded the Masechta of Nazir.